Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Again, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Adrian, for reading the scripture for us this morning. Last Sunday, we started our journey through the book of Joshua. We like to look at Joshua's story, and so we had some introduction to him last Sunday, and for the next couple Sundays, we will look at his story and see how it relates to us today. But our first task is to know Joshua quite well. So this morning, actually, I want to talk about the key to prosperity and success for Joshua. But that's too long to put in the bulletin, so I just put the key to prosperity and success. So don't worry, I'm not going to preach the prosperity gospel or anything like that. We want to look at what God told Joshua, how that relate to his situation, as to how he could prosper and be successful. And so to do this, I'm going to do it more informally and kind of ask a lot of questions and give you a chance, hopefully, to kind of share your thoughts and ideas with the people around you and next to you. So there was something that needs to be done before I can advance this thing. I'm not sure what it is. If not, I will as Princeton. Right, so if go back. Just briefly with the people around you, three or four, why don't you just take 1 minute and share what prosperity means and another minute to share in your mind what is success, okay? So this should not be very hard. Come on, talk to each other. How would you define prosperity? How would you define success? Right, we're going to talk about the key to prosperity and success for Joshua. So before we get started, take stock of how you look at these two terms. All right, so we're talking about Joshua, and we mentioned that this is Joshua, the son of Nun. We don't know anything about his father, but we know a lot about his relationship with Moses, his mentor, of which he was an assistant for 40 years. And of course, as we begin Joshua chapter 1, Moses just passed away, and now it's Joshua's responsibility to bring God's people into the promised land, into Canaan. And we started to look at God's conversation with Joshua in this first few verses of chapter 1. And we note that in the space of 4 or 5 verses, God repeated this phrase 3 times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And we noted that in verse 7, by using ESV, which is a more wooden literal translation of from the Hebrew to, from the original, in this case, from Hebrew to English. It's trying to reflect what's there, but of course, it doesn't flow as well in English. It's not sort of good conversational English. But we note that in verse 7, it says, only be strong and very courageous. So there's some emphasis, obviously, there. And we also mentioned that when God repeats stuff, it's not because he's getting old and demented or he just likes to nag us. When God repeats stuff to Joshua, that means he wants Joshua to really take note. And for sure, it means Joshua was not strong and courageous all the time, even though he's a great general and all of that, right? God sees the heart. So God wants to basically encourage him, and God wants to give him some very precious instruction. Okay, so we're going to use ESV just to note some of the nuances of the Hebrew language that as far as translation could show us, right? It's not going to read very smoothly. So, how about let's read it together again in ESV. Let's skip the part in brackets because that's the footnote, all right? So let's read it together. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And I just put there the footnote that the translators were having a hard time deciding between have good success or may act wisely. And in the end, they choose to translate it as have good success, but they let us know that that could also be translated from Hebrew to English as may act wisely. All right, so note that. Let's continue. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many of you have said this phrase to someone, do not be dismayed, in the last little while? Do you still talk like that? Do not be dismayed. Anyway, now that we've kind of read it, because reading God's word is very powerful, as we shall see, I want to ask some questions. What is all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you, as God says that to Joshua? And what is this book of the law? Well, as you think about it, surely this is more than the Ten Commandments, right? It's a lot more other instruction the Lord gave. The book of the law tells us and alert us that Moses actually wrote it all down. Now, this is very important because Moses is known as a very, very special prophet. Why? What's so special about Moses? He is the prophet that God speaks face to face with. That's very important, right? Most prophets, God might give them dreams and vision and impressions, but Moses, God speaks face to face to. And there's this thing called the tent of meeting where Moses would go and Joshua would be hanging outside and the cloud would descend and God would actually meet with Moses and speak face to face. So there's a lot of stuff that God told Moses to tell his people, and Moses wrote it down, and that's the book of the law. As best we can know, this would be the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Of course, except for the last part of Deuteronomy, where it describes the death of Moses, because Moses obviously can't write that. Okay, so that's a lot of things that God wanted Joshua to keep in mind, right, when we ask these questions. And so we go back and look at verse 6. God told him, be strong and courageous, reading now from the New Living Translation, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestor I would give them. That's Joshua's mission, as we say, right? His mission is to lead all these people to take or to possess all the land that God promised to since Abraham's time. As we noted last Sunday, courage, we only talk about courage when we have some mission to accomplish. And in this case, God gave a mission or assignment to Joshua. And should he choose to accept that mission, which is mission impossible, as we'll see soon, then he will need this courage. But it's only as he accepts by faith that this courage will grow, right? So let's ask ourselves now some real practical question. What needs to happen? Because he's leading about 2.5 million young and old, male and female Israelites, just about to cross the river to possess the promised land. What needs to happen for Joshua to accomplish his mission? Well, let me show you a map. You'll see it enlarged a little bit, but at this point, they're right about here, about to cross the Jordan, right? And if you look at it, in order for that to happen, they have to drive out and actually kill most of the inhabitants. Now, that's a big job. While you've got 2.5 million people following you, right? They have to live somewhere. The logistics of this, so some of you are very good. Right away, you say, wow, this is a nightmare. But anyway, this is a map for the military conquest. And as I enlarge it a little bit, you'll see that, remember we said that Joshua's specialty is he's a very excellent military strategist. And actually, you can see that they cross, I pushed the wrong button. Can you go back two or three? Yes. You can see that they cross right at the heart of the promised land. And then the military campaign is into four phases. It says, upon crossing the Jordan, Joshua camped at Gilgal, and then he attacked Jericho and Ai, right? And once he has won, he's kind of cut the people in half, you see? So this militarily is a great strategy, right? And then for some reason, then he decided to go through this corridor and defeat the Amorite kings. That's phase two. And once he did that, he just kind of swept through the rest of the south and cleaned up there. And then he went north and finished the job. Okay. Now, this is the first thing that needs to happen. But now you have to realize that he has to do this while there's still like all these women and children and all that, right? So the logistics of this is pretty amazing if you think about it. Of course, he's not going to do this all alone. He has hopefully a lot of good people to depend on, but this is Joshua's job. And actually, we know that, if we keep going, that that's roughly how the book of Joshua is divided. Chapters 1 to 12 tells us of the conquest, those four military campaigns. And then chapters 13 to 22, how the land is divided among the 12 tribes of Israel. And of course, Joshua's final counsel and his death in the last two chapters. We know that the conquest, the actual battles, took about 7 years, maybe another 7 years to kind of carve out the territory. I just want you to realize that this is no easy task, right? Because you'll see these people are not an easy bunch to lead to. But that's all that's involved. So what does Joshua need to lead the people well during this period? Not just military know-how. He also has to take care of the women and children. Like before they take possession, they're going to be all pretty cramped somewhere, right? And then they have to make sure they are safe while the soldiers go out and fight. So this is all the stuff that Joshua needs to do. And when they're dividing the land, I'm sure there'll be disagreement, and so probably politics will have to come into here, kind of explanation, communication, PR stuff. That's all that Joshua has to do. I just want us to remember that when God is talking to him and says, you know, be brave, be of good courage. And he led the people for about 30 years. Okay, so, and the other thing I want us to remember is that this is a totally new thing for God's people, because since Abraham's time, they were nomadic people. Nomadic, like they don't have a permanent address. They just move from here to here. Oh, I forgot to mention, besides the 2.5 million, there are all their animals, livestock, their cattle, their sheep. Okay, so this is all in a good day's work for Joshua, how to kind of handle all of that, right? Okay, so the nomadic people, they never had a permanent address. At best, they were semi-nomadic, because during the 40 years in the wilderness, sometimes they stayed at some place for quite some time. But now, as they come and take possession of the land, they actually now have a permanent address. Some of you who come and go, you kind of have some idea what this means, but I think for a lot of our people who move back and forth, you at least have an address to go to when you move back and forth between, say, here in Hong Kong or here in Philippines or Taiwan. But this is a new thing for the God's people. They will finally have a permanent address, and they have nowhere else to move to. Just think. After their whole history is, they just move from place to place, but now they have to settle down. You think that's going to be easy? Anyway, so those are some of the things that Joshua has to do. And what kind of people are they? How about the people he led? First of all, I want you to notice how Moses called them, okay? I've gone back to Deuteronomy 31. Moses called them rebellious and stiff-necked. Okay, so these are the people, okay? And Moses says to these people before he died, before he passed on to Joshua, his leadership, he says, if you have been rebellious against the Lord while I'm still alive and with you, how much more would you rebel after I die? Are you beginning to realize now why God has to tell Joshua, be brave, be courageous, do not be afraid, because Moses is not going to be there to help him anymore. And by the way, this text is very interesting, because if you look at the earlier part, you will see what exactly is meant by this book of the law. Because it says, after Moses finished writing in a book the words of this law from beginning to end, he gave this command to the Levites. Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. That's in the tabernacle, in the most holy place of the tabernacle. Put this book of the law right next to the Ark of the Covenant, and there it will remain a witness against you. Okay, so Moses did write it down. Most likely there's only going to be one copy only. This is, they call it a book, but it's not a book. You know that, right? They don't have paper yet. It's a scroll. All right, so I hope you're getting some ideas of what we're talking about here, or what, when God talked to, had this conversation with Joshua, what the actual situation is. The people are rebellious and stiff-necked. I know you don't use this word too, right? Do you still use the word stiff neck? We have painful neck and other thing, but stiff neck, yeah. Anyway, you know what it meant, right? Very stubborn and hard-headed. You can't, yeah. All right, so with all of this background in mind, that's why God tells him, be strong and courageous, because you are responsible for leading them to do all this, the taking care of them, do the military conquest, divide up the land, settle them down. These are people who've never had a permanent address. Be brave and courageous. That's all in a day's work for you. And you have to be very courageous, careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Because I have given you instruction. I've told you what to do in certain cases, and we'll see when he set up the cities of refuge and other things. Right, there's a careful instruction, and you can't possibly remember all of that, but you need to refer back to those sections when the time comes, Joshua, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left. This reminds me of first lesson in driving is what? Look at where you want to go. Don't look at the parked cars, because if you look at the parked cars, you're going to end up where the parked cars are, right? So as you look at God's law, you got to go straight. Don't meander, don't wonder. Don't try to reinterpret and say, oh, maybe God meant it like this, or maybe, okay. So I hope you can, and then you may have good success or act wisely wherever you go. And then God says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What does that mean? Now you know that this book of the law physically is sitting next to the Ark of the Covenant. So how, and in those days, you can't photocopy, you can't buy a copy of it. I mean, we don't know if Joshua eventually had it copied so that he had one next to him, but the idea is that you got to know what's in there and what relates to what. When you're fighting, when you're dividing the land, when there's a dispute between the people, when they don't agree, you need to know my instructions, basically, right? And that's why you have to. And when you're as a leader, when the situation comes, you have to tell the people what my law says. And how do you do that? You have to study it. You have to memorize it. You have to think about it, how it might apply, right? So that you're careful to do according to all that's written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's that conversation. Now we have a better idea, right? So let's look at verse 8, right? God says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. New Living Translation kind of modernize it a little bit and say, study this book. Well, we can study it today now because we can hold it in our hands. Most of you have it in your smartphone. But Joshua didn't. But he still needs to study it. And meditate actually literally means to mutter, to mutter, to talk to yourself about it. Why would God say this? Why is it like this? All right? So that you kind of really understand it. I was just thinking about the difference between Joshua's time and our time, and I realized, yeah, I'm not a very techie person. You know, I have my cell phone for the last 8 years, right, the same one. And the people that tell us, is, what, you don't want to upgrade? I say, I'm happy with it. Anyway, but so that kind of is where I'm coming from. But I have to adjust because there are a few times I'm walking down the road, and I thought somebody is calling me or talking to me. And I turn my head, and the guy's not calling me. He's got a Bluetooth on, and he's talking to someone. He's totally in his own world, but I thought he was calling me. So here's one example where someone is really connected and in touch with somebody else, so that he's walking down, but he's still talking. And in our neighborhood, there used to be a teenage, and of course, this I kind of got to know him when we moved there, and then I talked to him, and now it's 2 years later, right? We used to greet each other, we used to talk. Now, this is 2 years later, and he's kind of all grown up. He's like, you know, he's got a little beard now. But anyway, I still want to greet him and talk to him, but I try to say, hi, Kevin, how's it going? But he can't hear me. Why? Because he's plugged in, and he's singing this song, probably practicing for karaoke or something. But so every time I see him, he's singing to himself now. So now I know I don't even say hi anymore because he's plugged in, and he can't hear me. Unless I go in front of him and say, hi, right? And he pull, yeah. Anyway, I just thought this is the same idea for Joshua's time. There's only one copy. Maybe he can have it copied. But God is saying, Joshua, you got to get connected all the time. You got to get plugged into my laws, my instructions, all the stuff that you need to know to lead these people, to help them win the war and to divide the land with them, to help them make this transition from people roaming around to having a permanent address, to now they're going to quarrel with their neighbors. Before they, you know, maybe they change neighbors every time they move. We don't know. That's what I thought it meant for us today. All right? And of course, so only if you do this, if you're connected and plugged into my word, and I'll say lucky for Joshua, there's only 5 books from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Yeah. Or you could say unlucky for him because there's so many precious other instructions available in the rest of the Old Testament, New Testament, which we have access to today. But the idea is the same. Okay. So that's Joshua's key to prosperity and success, right? He has to speak and study the words of the book of the law. He has to meditate on it. He has to mutter it. He has to talk to himself, think about it, reflect on it from all angles, and then he has to obey them and carry them out, and don't turn to the right, to the left. Stay on course. Follow my words. That's Joshua's key to prosperity and success. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you someone. Who is he? Spock. Anyway, this is from original Star Trek. What's he doing? Can some of you do that finger thing? Anyway, this is the famous Vulcan greeting, which is what? Live long and prosper. No Star Trek fans here? Anyway, what does that mean? Well, live long, I was thinking that means you don't get killed in this episode. You'll be still around next episode, and then when the episode comes back next season, you're still alive. Live long. How about prosper? Does it mean necessarily get rich? Own a few Starfleet ships? Or I don't know. But we're going to look at what prosper and success means for Joshua, right? So let's go to the original language. I'm not an expert, but I kind of got a lot of help. So the Hebrew word that we translate prosper or prosperous is the Hebrew word salah, which means to advance, to make progress, to prosper, to succeed, to be profitable. These are all possible way of expressing this word, this Hebrew word. Okay, that's prosperous. Success is our English translation of the Hebrew word shakal. And shakal means to be prudent, to be circumspect, to wisely understand, and to deal wisely, and to prosper. I suppose if you do all that, you would prosper. So if we say, what does it actually mean? Not the way we define it today. Right? There it is again. What was God talking about when he told Joshua, if you do this, you're going to be prosperous and successful? Well, prosperity actually is just basically accomplishing the goal or making progress towards the goal. So you are prosperous if you are moving towards your goal. Your goal could be to get your driver's license with one practical exam. But if it takes 4 and you still got it, you're still prosperous because you have got to your destination. All right. And success is looking at one's circumstance, having that perspective with a wise, practical approaches that will lead you, again, to accomplish your goal. That's what it meant for Joshua. All right. And that's why in the ESV footnote, for successes, or that you may act wisely. Because if you don't act wisely, you are not going to be successful. Have you ever thought like that? That's God's definition, okay? So I just want you to really think, because we'll see this illustrated as we see now how Joshua carries the military campaign and all that. Sometimes he'll reach the goal, sometimes he might not reach, or he might reach it, but with other consequences. And so we'll kind of have time to kind of unpack this as we move, continue with Josh's story. But the questions I'm kind of wrapping up now with some questions for all of us to consider. The important thing is, which definition of success and prosperity are you or am I living by? Is it the world's definition? Is it Merriam-Webster's definition, Oxford, Cambridge? Or is it your own definition of what success is and what prosperity is? Or is it from the expectations of other people? If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, right? You might be very successful, but in other people's opinion, you're not. And sometimes they kind of pressure you to live up to their definition. Or are you living by God's definition of what success is and what prosperity is? And as we look at what it means, actually, if you look at the definition of success in the dictionary, as I did, it basically means to achieve what you've been working towards. That's it, success. That's why I say even if you take 4 practical exams to get your driver's license, you're successful. You have reached your goal. So the goals actually are the most important part, isn't it? Because success is just basically, are you along the way in getting there? Are you getting there? So this is a very important question then. What goals am I living for? What goals are you living for this Canada Day? Are you living for the world's goals, your own? The goals of that others put on you, significant people? Or are you living for God's goals for you? Do you know what God's goal for you right now is for the second half of this year? That's a very important question, right? Because success depends on whether or not you're heading in the direction and making progress towards that goal. Very important question for me, and I think for you. Finally, I want you to note something else in this kind of awkward English translation. It says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may have good success. And then later on, it says, be careful to do according to all that is written in the book of the law, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. So I just want to ask a few concluding questions. You notice God told Joshua, it's for then you will make your way prosperous. You note that? We expect God says, well, Joshua, if you do all of this, if you follow my instruction, if you read my word, keep it in your mouth, meditate on it, and you obey it, then I will make your way prosperous and I will give you success. No, God is a very good parent. And like all good parents, God will not do it for us. He will not do it for Joshua. Here are the instructions. I'm behind you. I'm with you all the way. But you have to make it happen. You have to choose and you have to decide. You will make your way prosperous. I hope we notice that. You say, God, I've obeyed your instruction. Can you make it happen? How come nothing is happening? And the Lord says, well, I never said I was going to do it for you. You have to do it according to my instruction. And then there's a very interesting phrase that I think NIV doesn't translate like that because that's not good English. Good success. I thought all success is good. Interesting, right? Good is an adjective. That means if there could be good success, there could be bad success. Could there be bad success? Could there be? So success. Who cares? Yes, we better care because in this life, there's good success and bad success. What does bad success mean? Could it be that bad success means you've reached a goal, but at the expense of losing something just as important? Or even more important than that goal? That would be bad success, right? Especially if you lose something more important to get there. Like you got your dream job, but you've lost your health, for example. You got your first heart attack at 32 because your goal was to be a millionaire by 30. I don't say, could that be bad success? You've got what you wanted, but along the way, you've lost all your important relationships. Is that good success? Cause us to pause and think, right? The success we want are the good kind, not the bad kind. And there are probably other kind of adjective you could put, partial success and anyway, right? So that's an important question. And I think these are the final question. We've talked about what all this meant for Joshua. So let me ask you, is God's promise to Joshua, particularly chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, applicable to you today, to me today? Or is it, well, that's just for Joshua. He was asked to do that job. Doesn't relate to you and I, you and me. Does it? Well, let me ask, are there promised land for us to possess? Are there stuff God promised is ours already, but we don't quite have it yet, like we're looking at it from across the river? It looks nice, but you actually have to cross the river and you gotta do the dirty work of going into battle and doing all kinds of stuff, right? From looking across the river to living in your house in that across there, there's a lot of stuff in between. And now we know God says, you gotta do it. You are going to do it. I'm not gonna do it for you. I will help you. I will tell you how. But you will have to make your way prosperous. You have to reach that goal yourself. Is there a promised land? Is there some things that God has promised you? Well, then if yes, I think this relates to you and me too, right? And so final question, are you going to claim this promise? Do you believe in it? So reflect on these questions, because we're going to see how this works out. As we continue Joshua's story, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you not only give us laws and concepts and ideas, you give us real stories of real people, though they live long time ago, though many things are different, but yet at the heart, we are all the same. We are all looking for success. We have goals we're trying to achieve, but these questions are so important. What kind of goals? By whose definition? Is it going to be good success when we get there? Or are we going to find that it's a bad success? So Lord, haunt us with these questions, and as we look at Joshua's story, may you speak to our hearts. And if there are many who wants to claim this promise, help us, show us how to do it one step at a time. Help us to keep connected, keep plugged into your word. And when we face situations, we will ask, Lord, what is it in your word that you have said that relates to this situation? I want to understand it, and I want to obey you. And Lord, as we do this, may you make our way prosperous and successful. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us rise as we join our hearts in worship.
lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. To your heart.
You may be seated.